it's always a delicate balance, right? We want volume and we want variety in our content so that we are serving all the different buyer personas and all the different people that we ultimately speak to in those sales conversations. But we do want to make sure that, one, it's super high quality and folks are really getting the value out of all the effort and resources that we're putting into creating those pieces.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise a glass.
Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. I am thrilled to be joined by Dan Morjazy today. He is the Director of Content Strategy and Research at Gong. Really excited for this conversation. I think folks who have been involved in content marketing for a while, Gong is often listed as a North Star brand. We'll get into all the reasons why, including random acts of content, data-driven content, and internal enablement today. But before we do that, Dan, thank you for joining the show. In your own words, tell us a little bit about your background and kind of your process and what you're up to now at Gong.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm currently the Director of Content Strategy and Research at Gong, and I'm really focused on our proprietary thought leadership. So thinking of data-driven and research-backed pieces, we have a series called Gong Labs that has kind of been the bread and butter and a pillar of our content strategy for a while. So I'm lucky enough and fortunate enough to have access to this treasure trove of data that we're pulling from actual sales conversations, billions of conversations and emails and interactions and touch points, where we can actually dive in and provide really valuable insights to the market and to our customer base through our content. Prior to joining Gong, so I've been at Gong for about 3 years now, I spent about the first decade of my career in the research and advisory space. So all things B2B sales, go-to-market alignment. I work for an organization called Serious Decisions that advised marketing leaders, sales leaders, as well as product leaders. We were eventually acquired by Forrester Research, which I think is a more commonly known logo, perhaps, than the Serious brand, but spent about 2.5 years there as a benchmarking analyst. So providing those same personas, essentially, the data that they needed to make informed decisions. Kind of fell into content marketing, to be completely honest. As I said, I had that research background, joined Gong as part of the product management function, and then naturally kind of was just starting to create content almost as a research and advisory team of one. And then fell over into the content marketing organization and have really been enjoying it for the past couple of years.
I'm really excited to dive into all of that in a bit. And I feel like Serious Decisions is if you're an OG B2B marketer, it's like a if you know brand. Like, I feel like they were one that a lot of people really looked at, maybe even a little bit more organic than some other analysts in the space. And it felt like there was a gap in the market when Forrester acquired Serious Decisions. I know some people who are trying to fill that gap. So that's awesome. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Content Cocktail Hour, so we always like to ask our guests before we jump into the meat of the conversation, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
Oh, God. So I am I guess I'll be self-proclaimed, but I think my wife might back me up on this one, but I'm a bourbon and American whiskey aficionado and collector. So if you go into my basement, you'll see an extensive collection of, yes, American whiskeys, all the good brown stuff that I enjoy. We did welcome our first in September, so have not been tapping into that collection quite so much because we get up early every day and want to make sure I'm sharp for him. But yes, I'm a big American whiskey.
Do you have a favorite brand, favorite distiller, anything in there? You and I could have a whole nother episode about this topic. Maybe our wives could have an episode complaining about us on this topic, but what's your favorite?
Yeah, so I love, I think Buffalo Trace just puts out like all of their allocated stuff. So the Elmer T. Lee's, the Weller's. I'm lucky enough to have sampled a few of the Pappy Van Winkle collection, which has become like the unicorn that everyone chases in the bourbon aficionados world. So yeah, those, I think a lot of juice that they're putting out is really good stuff.
Love that. Well, you and I, we have some stories to trade maybe after we hit stop on the record here, because yeah, we have some shared interest there. But let's keep the conversation on content today for all of our listeners. You mentioned you're heavily involved in data research. As I mentioned at the top, that's what Gong, I think your brand from a content perspective has become known for, is that really rich data. We coach our customers all the time, especially now in this AI era, that proprietary data can't be replicated, at least not yet, maybe in the future. And that's where I think a lot of the content effort and energy needs to shift. And you all are often the brand that people are looking at to do that. That said, it was interesting talking to you a little bit prior before recording. It feels like you and your team are still fighting this urge of random acts of content or content for content's sake, which I think so many marketers wrestle with. So tell us a little bit about how you all wrestle with that and avoid creating random acts of content at Gong.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's actually, it's a really relevant topic for us internally as we start looking towards the second half of our fiscal year and starting to plan out what does the editorial calendar actually look like. And so obviously, as an organization, we have priorities. As a marketing organization, we have different priorities. So that's always our North Star, right? Like, are we providing content that will help us achieve our organization's goals at the end of the day? And that's whether it's new product launches, whether it's going after new buyer personas, whether it's going to new markets, whether it's going up market and looking at new segments or even new verticals sometimes. So that's always our North Star. And as we're starting to kind of brainstorm and try to fill in an editorial calendar, we'll have ideas, right? And the discovery there is looking at what the industry analysts are talking about. So I mentioned I came from Forrester and Serious Decisions, and all of my ex-colleagues and former partners at those organizations are speaking to hundreds of our buyer persona at the end of the day, and creating content and research that's going to help them be better at their jobs. And so one thing I do is like, what are the gaps in some of the industry analyst topics that are covering? What are we hearing from our prospects and customers, right? So I feel very fortunate, and I'm sure every content marketer that has access to Gong in some capacity is very fortunate, or any conversation intelligence tool, right? Hearing the unfiltered voice of customer, when they're getting on the phone with reps, what are the challenges that they're discussing? What are the problems that they're trying to solve? What data are they looking for? We mentioned that we have all this great proprietary data. Well, how do we package it up and serve it to folks so that it's useful for them and actually, you know, relevant to those challenges that they're trying to solve? So there's a variety of different ways that we kind of go about the brainstorming. And again, you can look at what are my competitors doing as well, right? Like what are they writing about? But I think making sure that you're providing content to you, for the field to use, that rolled back up into those pillars or your organization's priorities, but then also serves the customer, is that delicate balance. If we're so self-serving and so internally focused around like, okay, we have these great product launches coming out, let's just create content to really pitch those to our prospects, chances are downloads and views and engagement on that content is going to be pretty low because it's so self-serving. I know our former CMO, Udi Lettergore, who I work with on a regular basis on thought leadership content, he's always said, let's create content so good that people are willing to pay for, but obviously we give it to them for free. So I think always having that like manifest or that vision or mission statement as part of your content marketing strategy is a really, really valuable one. Let's create stuff so good that people would be willing to pay for it, but obviously offer it on the house. And then hopefully that opens up a conversation where they're interested in learning more about our product.
That's so good. I love that, hearing the unfiltered voice of customer. And I've heard that heuristic previously for creating content so good that somebody would pay for it. For like, that should be the threshold for putting something behind a gate, right? Because people really are paying for it with their data. So I think like that you've built that into kind of your ethos at Gong is really powerful. So then how do you balance that? Like, okay, we brainstorm, we have ideas, we kind of whittle it down, we make sure everything's aligned. The balance of it's not random, but there's still like a volume threshold that we need to hit to kind of keep the engine running. How do you balance making sure it's not a random act of kindness versus there's enough volume there to keep the engine running?
Yeah, it's great. So after we come up with, let's say, I'm just going to throw an arbitrary number. Let's say we come up with 25 ideas for pieces of content. We kind of have a good idea, like this topic would work really well as a Gong Labs report, or this is a more meaty subject. Maybe it's something we should actually run a proprietary research on. So we'll position it as like, we're going to run a survey in field with this target audience, this many recipients or respondents. So we'll try to understand what are the format or the asset types that we're going to create. And then after coming up with that list of, let's say, 25 topics, then it's our time to really go out and validate, like, are these worth our time? I think it's always a delicate balance, right? We want volume and we want variety in our content so that we are serving all the different buyer personas and all the different people that we ultimately speak to in those sales conversations. But we do want to make sure that, one, it's super high quality and folks are really getting the value out of all the effort and resources that we're putting into creating those pieces. And so what we do is we want to validate, like, are these topics worth pursuing? And as I mentioned before, I am very fortunate in the sense that I can go into Gong and create trackers. So let's say, for instance, you know, when I first joined Gong, the Great Resignation, the Great Reshuffle was a really hot topic. How do we keep talent motivated? How do we keep them on board? How do we keep them engaged and performing at their best? What I was able to do was just create a tracker, right? And so any variety of topics any variety or combination of words in which a sales leader might talk about their talent issues or, hey, we've had a ton of voluntary turnover recently. I can go in and hear directly from the customer, how are they speaking about it? What are the challenges in terms of the Great Reshuffle? Is it getting new folks on board? Is it keeping their existing bench motivated? Is it, you know, really ramping up managers to be able to have the conversations and find the top talent that are looking for new gigs? And what I was able to do with that intelligence is that, like, one, this might not be a topic that directly ties back to all of Gong's value props, but it's something our persona cares deeply about. Hear how they're talking about it and then validate that, yes, this is definitely something that's worth, you know, spending money on running a survey on, spending a couple months actually writing up the content. And it was actually one of our first state of type of reports and really successful because I think it was genuinely something that folks cared about. It was very unrelated, I think, to typically how people think about Gong, but hyper relevant to our audience, both customers and prospects alike.
I think you're giving away your secrets unintentionally. There are two things there that really stood out to me. One is that you found the data after you have the narrative or the problem or the pain point. I think a lot of times when people are using data and research, it sometimes comes across very clearly in the content. It's like they found a data point that was cool and they kind of craft the narrative around the data point, right? And it's like, you've actually reversed that. It's like you found this pain point or this topic or this theme, and then you go see if there is data supporting it or not supporting it. And I think that's a really powerful nuance of, like, what question are we trying to answer? Or what prompt are we seeing in the market that we can react to, that we have access to this data that we can use to our advantage? So I think that's really powerful. And then I think the other thing you mentioned that's really cool is you mentioned the Great Reshuffle or resignation, like, not necessarily something like Gong isn't going to sell you on that, right? But your persona cares greatly about it. Everybody cared greatly about it at that time and still does, I would argue. And I think, like, that of just, again, I think it's rooted in that first point I mentioned. You're just listening so intently to market, and it makes sense given what Gong does, but you're able to create something that you know is powerful because the market's already talking about it as opposed to you trying to convince the market to care about it.
Exactly. Yeah. And obviously, so when I first joined, we were creating a category, and it's a delicate balance, right? Like there's not one right way to go about creating content. But if you are trying to create a category, evangelize that category with customers, prospects, so that they're using the same terminology that you do. You want to convince all the analyst shops like Gartner and Forrester to spark, you know, to really validate your thinking around what this category is. Obviously, you are going to have to create quote unquote thought leadership and be provocative and say, like, this is why you should think about this subject matter in this fashion. But I think you have to make sure you're doing both, right? Like answering the questions that haven't been asked yet, which I think was kind of the goal of the first report around the sales talent that I talked about. But then obviously, as we're creating a category, we created an ebook called What is Revenue Intelligence? And really started to talk. So again, I don't think one strategy is necessarily right or wrong, or like it should be 100%, but having that great mix of content where you can educate the market on where you are trying to lead them, leading a horse to water, but then also answering questions that people are creating.
Love that. I want to come back to that kind of evangelizing topic here in just a moment. But before we do that, let's kind of put a bow maybe on this data kind of research-driven content piece. You've mentioned Gong has unique access to data and call recordings and everything. What about smaller teams with less resources, or even bigger teams that are just, you know, maybe they're just getting into more research-driven, data-driven content? How do they get started?
Yeah, I think it's starting with going through that discovery process of, like, where can we get started? What's a topic? Like, from my... So I was very fortunate in the sense that Gong Labs was stood up before I joined. We had a great presence in the market. Our content was best in class in terms of what maybe some of our competitors were doing at the time. So I came into a very well-established and a great content engine that was already humming. I think getting started specifically on the proprietary thought leadership of leveraging your own product data, which we know is a very fruitful endeavor, right? And like every organization that can do it should be doing it, in my opinion. So I think it's starting small. Like let's pick a topic. Let's see how the data is organized. Let's see who we need to partner with internally and really try to get internal buy-in. It's a heavy lift, right? Like there's usually like data science endeavors that, so you might have to pull in like engineering or product development, or if you have an R&D team that you're working with to one, get access to the data, two, go and analyze it, making sure like, can we even like answer the questions that we're asking? And then making sure that we have a solid strategy in place of how are we going to serve this up to our audience, right? Is it something that we think is valuable enough to gate? Do we want to experiment more with the blog? Do we want a combination of both? So I think first assessing, like, do we even have the data that's viable? Is this a viable strategy for us to do proprietary thought leadership with our own data? How are folks going, like, how do we see folks actually consuming this data? Is it, again, a static blog where we're providing them all the data visualization? Do we want to give them more liberty and like be able to like slice and dice some of this so we're creating like dynamic reports for folks? I think it's identifying what you want that content journey to look like first, and then starting small and executing. Let's start with one topic. Let's experiment. Let's see how it works. Maybe the next time, right, and when it's still in its infancy of a project, you go and, I don't know, maybe you try a static blog one time, maybe it's the second time we try an interactive gated report. I think experimentation early on is super important. It's something, as I said, I joined like a very well-established content marketing team, but we're still trying experiments internally, right? We create all this great content. Are there different ways we could package it and position it to see if folks want to engage in that way?
This is crazy to me. And this is why I love all these conversations so much. Because even in that answer, like you're thinking about the distribution strategy. You're thinking about the format, the internal communications. Like, and similar to your answer previously, it's like data is almost the very last piece of this. It's like you've thought through the questions you want to answer. You've thought through how you want to answer it. And like data, which like is why we're having this conversation, is because you'd think you're sitting there like leading with data, like, oh, we've got all this great data, let's take it to market. But it's, you're actually just like, data in all these answers almost feels like it's the last puzzle piece that you get to plug into this puzzle that you've already put together. And I think that is, I've learned something from that, and I think that's a really good insight for any marketers that are thinking about using data in their content. There's a lot that needs to go into making sure that delivery of the data to the market is just right, and you all have figured that out.
Thank you. I think you summarized it much better in my long-winded answer. We could be sitting on all of the greatest data in the world, but if we aren't getting eyeballs on it, or folks aren't able to access it, or they're not seeing it, like, it's kind of all for naught, right?
Yeah.
And so you'll see this with Gong Labs, right? Like, it's a very social-heavy strategy. We cross-publish all of the articles on our LinkedIn newsletter with 75,000 subscribers. Drive engagement there where folks are commenting and kind of like giving their own viewpoints on the data, liking it, resharing it. And so it almost creates this community and this dialogue within our market of like, wow, these insights are incredible. And so I think that's one of the strongest, you know, early on in Gong Labs, I think that's how it gained so much traction, is that like folks were seeing it because of the great engagement. If maybe Gong just posted that solely on Gong.io's blog, I don't know if it, you know, and again, it's all great data, don't get me wrong, but like, yeah, the strategy of how are we going to get folks to engage is so important as well.
That's really cool. I'm thinking about taking our own newsletter to LinkedIn now. That's interesting. You've mentioned it like almost passively in a few of your answers, but I think it's really critical and something that you all do an incredible job of, is that internal evangelization of the data, like enabling, especially you're a sales, a revenue solution, you know, sales is often your audience. I think that audience in particular, a lot of times maybe more challenging to internally align or get active, or maybe there's just a cliche that is common sales and marketing alignment challenges. How do you go about kind of internally enabling your team and the sales team around the content and reports that you're producing?
Yeah, this is something that's still very much, I won't call it a challenge, but it's still a huge opportunity for us. So not saying I have all of the answers, but I could share what we do internally and what we're thinking about for the second half of the year. But essentially, if we're doing our jobs, we're going to create content, one that gets our audience, so our prospects and customers excited, but also our internal stakeholders really excited. And that's like, you know, our executive leadership team, like are they willing to engage and share the content on social and kind of amplify it for us? And then even more important than that is, are our sellers really happy with what we're providing, so much so that they want to talk about it with prospects on their sales call? So whether that's incorporating maybe a Dong Labs data point into their talk track, or actually showing a slide or walking through one of our reports. And so what we do is typically around like the very impactful pieces of content we're creating, we'll do what we call a Gongster activation, where we actually have established Slack channels where we're letting folks know, hey, this is the new piece of content, here's what it's all about. And what I typically do is I'll record like a Loom video or a video in Gong and share that with the audience, usually a 5 to 10 minute overview. Try to keep them short because obviously attention spans and folks are busy, but really trying to educate them on like, how can they speak to the content as if they were the ones that wrote it, right? I think part of our thought leadership content and part of our content strategy is to make everyone internally at Gong a thought leader on all the subjects that we're writing about. And so we really try to do a good job of creating these, what we call enablement packs, which include the video, include a description and abstract, even include some email templates, email copy, social copy, if they want to share it with their networks. And so really try to do all the heavy lifting for them to make sharing and speaking to our content as easy as possible. That's the first phase. The second part, which I'm really hoping to double down on the second half of the year, is how do we know if that's resonating? So we create a new piece of content, we enable the field, or we at least thought so. How do we then get that feedback loop started? And again, not trying to sell anyone on Gong here, but fortunate enough to have Gong. And so what I do is I actually set up trackers. So with the name of each piece of new content that I'm releasing or enabling the field on, I'll create a tracker. And then each week I get like a digest in my email of all of the reps who brought up our new state of revenue leadership report that we launched earlier this year. I can see how, one, reps are speaking to it, but two, what's the reaction of the customers when those data points are brought up? Or is it something that a customer organically brought up? It's like, say, hey, I read this new report, I thought it was really good, and that's why we're having this conversation. So selfishly for me, it's a little bit of content attribution, and I can pull these things anecdotally. But two, I can see kind of where we're hitting the mark or missing in terms of enabling folks. One, are they speaking to it correctly? Two, do I think it's impactful and moving deals forward? And then we can use that hopefully for our future planning as well. Like, this asset type is doing really good, this topic is really hot right now, maybe we should write a follow-up piece on that, and then hopefully use that intelligence as well to maybe, you know, rework our enablement plan if we think like, oh, they're not really leveraging the email templates, maybe there's a better way we can go about that. Or maybe we work with a seller of like, how would you write an email to this, and maybe not do as much of the heavy lifting for them, but work in more of a partnership. So I think that feedback loop is super important. And then also, when we are finding those insights, can we share that back to the field? Like, hey, this is what your peer did and had really like a really successful opportunity using this content, and kind of create the excitement and almost a bit of FOMO, right? Like, hey, if you're not using this report, you should be, because look at the success Jonathan's having with it. So I think all of that's important, doing the work, but then also following up, measuring if it's impactful, and then sharing success so that you can continue to create that flywheel, if you will.
Yeah, you're putting a lot of effort into that internal enablement. I think it shows, obviously, but then I think you're putting a lot of effort into that feedback loop. And I think there's a lot of people, you know, it's a copy and paste of LinkedIn post that they drop in Slack to everybody, and then they're on in the next random act of kindness, to go full circle, as opposed to creating that feedback loop and really going deep on that enablement. And again, I think it shows in success you all are having with your content. So kudos to you and the team.
We haven't got it all figured out, but yeah, hopefully if we speak again in a year or so, maybe I'll have some new learnings as well.
There we go. I love it. We always ask all of our guests, what is one unpopular opinion you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
I'll tell you an unpopular opinion I had probably this time last year, and I'll admit I was super wrong. I was like,
love that.
I was like, people are going to get tired of this AI thing. And maybe like maybe some listeners are like, oh, thank you. I'm fine. I'm glad someone said it. But I thought we were over-indexing into AI and writing about AI and jamming AI down people's throat. Like, I just felt like this overwhelming feeling that like, not that it was getting its, you know, 5 minutes of fame, because obviously it's transforming the way everyone works and everyone thinks about work. But I wasn't so bought into the idea that we need to keep writing about AI and researching AI, but I will, admittedly say I was very wrong about that. I think it's been some of our most performing content, but I'll say the caveat is I think we've taken unique angles at writing about it and asked different questions than are already being published by kind of like the big players in the space. That's not a hot take now, but one I had that I'll say in retrospect, I think I was
that wrong. Takes some courage to willingly offer what you were wrong about. That's the first time we've had that on that question, and I really appreciate it. I think how we're talking about AI has changed. I think when Gen AI specifically first became very popular, I think the trendy way to talk about it was like, it's coming for marketers' jobs. It's going to create all of our content for us. Some people started doing that, and we realized pretty quickly, like, it's not like probably there yet. And now we're talking about how people use AI, I feel like more for operational efficiency as opposed to like creativity. And that seems to be the direction that is still kind of growing. I feel like people are still unearthing all of these different AI use cases that aren't meant to replace creative work, but are making other types of work more efficient. So I'm in agreement and maybe share some of that same retrospect of how it's changed since it really came into popularity.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Dan, if people want to learn more from you or about Gong, I am certainly intrigued given some of the use cases you've mentioned today. What's the best way to do that?
So I will do a shameless plug. If you're not following Gong Labs and are interested in data and insights from millions of sales interactions, go to LinkedIn and subscribe to our Gong Labs newsletter. Follow Gong on LinkedIn as well. We post some really great stuff, whether it's Gong Labs data points, whether it's funny memes about sales that you can get a chuckle out of. Lots of great content of what's happening with Gong and our product there. Or follow me on LinkedIn, Dan Morgese, Morgese, for those folks listening on audio. But no, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for having me, Jonathan. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for joining us. We will have all of those links in the show notes. Dan, thanks again for this conversation. I learned a little bit. I trust our watchers and listeners did as well. Until next time, we'll see you. Same time, same place. Cheers.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.